There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday Eve edition of the show. And as always, easy to get in touch with us. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106 for a call or a text. And also using the FM Talk 106.5 app. Leave us one of those good old-fashioned talkback messages. All right, so now you know how to get in touch. And today's show, a little bit different, some stuff going on scheduling-wise. We'll have a repeat of a show that's been downloaded a bunch this week. Conversation with Sheriff Birch will run in the 1 o'clock hour. And this hour, coming up at 12:30, my buddy John Sledge is going to join us and lead-off batter today. You know him, you love him. He's Kyle Hamrick with Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. And he's also got some history for us as well. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me on in the primetime slot. Can't believe I get to open for John.
Yeah, you're in the noon hour. You're the first segment in the noon hour. It's pretty strong. I would go ahead and circle this on your calendar. We'll get a picture taken of it. Maybe you and I'll get a picture of shaking hands over it or something like that.
Sounds nice. Let's do it.
Okay, before we go to the story and cover story that has you know, so many people talking, had Dan and Dalton you know, spent a lot of time this morning talking about it. I want to as well. Before we get into the history of the Bellingraths, I want to talk about, well, good old-fashioned city council complaining. Can we get to the good old-fashioned? I'll tell you what's wrong. But you have a story here, and we've heard some of this over time, people texting in, complaining about different businesses. But you said, headline here, council hears complaints on roof and window business. Now, what's a question here?
Yeah, so there were a number of people who showed up to the meeting Tuesday morning, who said they had lost a ton of money and gotten no window or roof work done by a local business, and they wanted the city council to get involved in their issue and to cancel the business licenses for, I believe it was all wet weather roofing and the window depot. They had said there were three women who spoke. They had lost, you know, a good bit of money. I can't recall the exact number, but put together, they
said like almost
it
was almost 20,000.
Yes. But they claimed that they and about 50 other folks had lost nearly $500,000. So they showed up to ask the city council to get involved in this and to cancel the business licenses while there's an investigation that is going on here. That's kind of where we are. I had not seen folks go to the council and ask for something like this while a law enforcement investigation is going on. So this was definitely a departure from the usual goings on at Government Plaza.
That got my attention because some of these people have complained about some of these businesses to me in the past. And then I, you know, have asked, you know, are you pursuing legal remedy? And they are. So that's normally the path I think of, right? You lawyer up, there's going to be a lawsuit, you get the but to go to the council, it is interesting because you could argue here they're actually, if this is true, the accusations here, they're doing a service to the community. They're not just pursuing their own losses. They're trying to make sure nobody else gets in the same situation.
Right. And that's what they had told the council. There have not been any charges filed. These are all some allegations these people have made. I tried to get in touch with the business owner. I have not received a comment back to respond to these claims. They got some sympathy from the council, from Camp Council President Small, and then District 4 Camp Councilman Ben Reynolds said that this issue has the full attention of the city. It's got the council, it's got the police department, the DA, and they said that, you know, depending on kind of how everything shakes out, you know, they would look into this further and see what the city can do to answer these claims and try to make things right.
Now, Kyle, I know you described this some in the story, or you quote the folks, but explain to everybody kind of how the hustle works, or how the what they're doing to lose money in these deals, how this is, what went down for these customers. What did they say?
They had said that they got into a contract with these businesses, and they had put some money down, a deposit of a few thousand dollars, and no work was ever done. And they had tried to follow up plenty of times, and they got no updates on their on the things that they had put in for, and just got little to no contact. So they claimed that they had paid, and then they got nothing for their service and have not gotten a refund.
So they put the money down, and then nothing. It's just deposit and gone.
Right. That's what they say.
So with this story hitting here, there's probably going to be more people who have that same situation. Are they, I guess they could read your story here and talk to those people. Obviously, they need to contact attorneys and law enforcement.
Right.
To kind of get a group of people here that, you know, understand each other.
Yes. And there is a Facebook group that's going on now. I believe it's something along the lines of the Victims of Window Depot or some name like that. It's a good sized group of people from what I've been told and from what I've read. And, you know, they're kind of working together to, you know, get through these claims that they're making. So they say there's a number of folks, I believe it was Public Safety Director Graves had said that, you know, they've heard from a number of people and they're going to follow up on this on these claims.
All right, let's go for our history lesson here, and what a great one. Dalton was just lauding this story, and I agree. It's really fantastic. He learned a lot of things. I learned a lot of things, too, even though, you grow up here. You go to Bellingrath. I mean, I think I was probably 7 or 8 years old the first time I went, and I went as recently as Magic Christmas and Lights with Mother. But there's a lot to how, I knew about the Coca-Cola bottling thing. I didn't know about Waterman Steamship, and shame on me for all my time here. I knew that was a big company, but I always associated the Bellingrath with Coca-Cola, but that's just part of it.
Right. Well, and that's what I had, known, too, up until I had got the information for this story and started doing the writing. I had no clue that Walter Bellingrath, in addition to owning the bottling company for Coca-Cola for this part of the state, he helped found the Waterman Steamship Company, got big bucks from that, got big bucks from the Coca-Cola, and his biography said that on two separate occasions he could write a personal check to cover the shortfalls of the Mobile Chamber of Commerce. So
that's big money.
These were some big money folks, and they had plenty of seed money to sprinkle around and to grow their fabulous gardens up. It's a great place. I love going to Bellingrath Gardens. My wife and I love to go for the Christmas in lights, and it's gorgeous, you know, really all times of the year. It was the pride and joy of Walter's wife, Bessie, and she had a big passion for art and for flowers, and she really made that place her own, and you know, had laid the foundation for the beauty that's there today. Very popular site from the beginning, and that was something that when Walter Bellingraf was nearing the end of his life, he wanted to make sure that his fortune could keep the gardens going, but to also support, you know, his goals for Christian colleges and education. So they came up with a way to divide the money back then, and the question has been tied up in court for many, many years, and it went to the state Supreme Court. It came back down to Mobile several times, and what this story is about, it's not just a history piece. It also looks at kind of this new funding plan that they have for the gardens and for these three colleges that I've been told will, you know, put an end to the legal jump rope and the squabblings that we've had for the past few years.
You know, with this kind of money, I mean, you talk about the breakdown in this and, you know, what's allocated to the college, what's allocated to the gardens. And it's significant here. I mean, colleges get more than the gardens, but it's still, what, over $1 million for the gardens?
That's right. That's right. And that's something, you know, this plan has kind of been in use for a while here. They've kind of counted on getting, you know, roughly $1 million from the foundation every year. And it covers about a sixth of their budget, I was told by the director of the gardens. And while it doesn't cover everything that they need to get by, it definitely is something that they're very glad to receive, and something that they said that gardens in other parts of the country would love to have. I mean, to get a guaranteed billion bucks every year, I'd be thrilled to get a guaranteed million bucks every year.
I could take some pictures of my garden. Take some pictures of my garden and see if they have any money for me, you know, out there, you know, between the okra and the rattlesnake beans and the tomatoes, you know, maybe I'll take $100. If they got $100, I'll take that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My peppers, I've got some pepper plants going on my porch. They are really nice. And I think we could use some cash too. So let's see what we can get.
Okay, we'll put our pictures together and make an application for funding. In the meantime, tell folks how to get signed up for LandYap.com.
Head to LandYapMobile.com, find a subscription that works best for you, and get to reading. We have the printed paper out in some beautiful purple boxes all around Mobile and Baldwin, but that doesn't have everything in it that you need. LandYapMobile.com has all that you need to know, and we're updating it all the time. So get to reading, get a subscription, have fun.
Hey, good stuff, Kyle. Thank you, man. We'll do it again next week.
Absolutely. Talk to you then.
All right. There goes Kyle Hammer with LandYap, LandYapMobile.com. Coming right back. Get some text. New information here on the Longhorn that fell out on the Bayway yesterday. That's just coming in. We'll talk about that as well.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Jeff Stone at Stone Arms. Called in the other day. We were talking about one of the stories that the gun violence stories we were talking about, and he pointed out that it's not about the guns, it's about the people. Yeah, and at the same time, the guns, if you're somebody who wants to shoot, you shoot the right way. You want the protection, or you want to shoot for fun, you want to shoot to hunt, he's got the guns. Do guns, use guns, everything that goes with them, accessories. And yeah, one of the most popular things going on there, of course, is the kiosk, he calls it, computer on the wall, I call it, that gets everything done for your ATF approval to be able to shoot suppressed. Now, this process has been, for a long time, you've heard about a tax stamp, right? You got to go through all these different processes, and it used to be $200 to apply. The big, beautiful bill got rid of the $200, but the requirements still to apply are there. It used to be a tedious task to do it. Well, Jeff streamlined it, and the computer on the wall, or the kiosk, as my friend calls it, speeds it up. He says 30 minutes or less. I got it done in about 20 minutes. That's been a couple of years ago. You go in, you put your information in, it makes sure you put the right information in the right place. It does the fingerprinting, it does the picture, and sends that all off to ATF. And he's getting results back in 2 weeks, in some cases back in 2 days out there. And lucky for him and lucky for us, he's got a huge selection of suppressors, silencers, cans, all the whatever you want to call them, in stock at Stone Arms. They're easy to find online, stonearmsinc.com. But the most fun is to see them in person. Go see them. They're about a quarter mile west of Snow on Airport Boulevard on the south side. Stone Arms Inc. and stonearmsinc.com. All right, let me grab a couple texts here. We've got John Sledge coming up in the next segment. Yeah, so Luna, you just heard it on the news there. Yeah, this my phone was started popping yesterday afternoon. People sending me this story. You just texting the story to me. There's so many animals stories, like animals somewhere where people are that, you know, alligators on the road, alligators on the causeway. There's a, you know, coyote in Mobile, there, whatever it is. Bears digging through the trash in Saraland. And I'm like, yep. That doesn't really get my attention. Those are critter stories that, you know, don't surprise me. But yesterday, when there was a longhorn laying on the bayway, I said, well, there's an animal story. There's one you can say that one is unique. You heard the update there. Luna, the Texas Longhorn that fell out of the trailer on the bayway yesterday, has now been euthanized. It said her injuries were too much to recover. It was interesting from Shimani's update from KRG this morning to Devin's update just out. Like, Shimani had the cow, had the Longhorn eating and drinking, right, and being taken care of somewhere. And then, record scratch here, then Luna's been euthanized. So there's that. But that, I've seen a lot of things cause traffic issues on the bayway. For me, this is a first. It makes it a first when you have the longhorn on the bayway. So RIP, Luna, the longhorn. All right, let me go on to the text line here. Catch up with these. Let's see. First up, Keith had sent me something about Luna. Jesse said, Sean, please tell these people the blue crab bite is on. Why are you sharing information, Jesse? This seems like a feign. This is the way me tell you. You know where the white trout are biting, or the speckled trout are biting. And I'll tell you the place I'm not going. But Jesse is obviously sharing info. Says the blue crab bite is on Dog River up to Chickasaw. So you know what, Jesse? That means there's going to be a run on chicken necks at the store. Watch this. You won't be able to find a chicken neck. You won't be able to find a freezer pack of chicken necks. Let's see. Because y'all north of the. I mean, do we need to go through this on the show? But get north of the bridges, you can't run crab traps legally. Now, you can do the old, you know, the line with the bait on it, bring them up and put the dip net under them. And you can use the old crab baskets, but you can't run traps up there. Let's see. Michael says, pass on to Kyle. So, Hamrick, if you're listening, Michael says you can look into, let's see, Apex Roofing from 10 years ago, basically stole over $500,000 by charging materials on their account and paying subs for side work that wasn't compensated to the company. Let's see. Chris in Orange Beach said, my great-great-grandparents started our family on Fowl River. That's where I learned to ski. My grandfather used to call it God's Country. It's a beautiful place. I mean, Bellingrath, you know, I mean, you grow up here. From school or wherever, you're going to go, you know, you end up going to a trip to Bellingrath, then it gets to be habit, then you go with the family. It's a beautiful place, and, know it from both sides. Know it from showing up and walking through the gardens. Know from running past it in a boat on Fowl River. But I didn't, you know, shame on me. I didn't know the Waterman Steamship. You grow up, you heard, well, the Bellingrath is Coca-Cola bottling, and you learn that. For some reason, the Waterman Steamship thing that, you know, I know that big company from here, from back in the day, but I never knew it was them. Yeah, Ben suggests to get some of that Bellingrath money. He'll hang Christmas lights from his tomatoes, if that helps. Yeah, I'll do the same. All right, we will we'll come back to, somebody says there's a Trump boat parade in Fowl River on Saturday. Starts at 10. Yeah, right at the bridge and runs up the river, turns right at Bellingrath Gardens. All right, thank you for that update. Coming right back, John Sledge joins us.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday Eve edition of the show. Some people call it a Thursday. 251-343-0106 for a call or a text. And as always, a great pleasure to talk to my friend, Maritime historian. He is in residence. Do you call it, John, do you call it in residence at the Maritime Museum of the Gulf?
Yeah.
Okay. What does residence mean? Does that mean you got to live there? What happens to that?
Well, the prospect would not be bad right on the river like that.
Right.
Yeah, it's just I retired from the city 2 years ago and became what they call a supernumerary. And I just wanted to keep my hand in a little part-time job, and maritime history was my first love. I'd been with the Historic Development Commission before that. And so the museum folks were good enough to take me on and have a little place for me to go down there once in a while and put her around, and we do some we do the golf chats every month and have different speakers come in, and of course got the big Jimmy Buffett exhibit coming up in September. All hands on deck that right now, so it's been a lot of fun. Yeah,
it's cool. And of course, yeah, y'all, that John has to deal with me making jokes about like being in residence somewhere and living there.
No, I appreciate that.
He's a patient. He's a patient. He's a patient man with me.
Yeah. So how are you?
I'm good. I'm good, John. And one of the stories, the story I want to talk about today is in the latest Mobile Bay magazine, your latest story there I want to talk about. But before that, you mentioned the Jimmy Buffett exhibit. And I got to tell you, I have great faith in the Maritime Museum now that I've never had before. When we focus on the Delta and we focus on Jimmy Buffett, that's on brand. That's our brand around here. And even though container shipping is as well, but people from far and wide are probably more interested in finding out about our Delta, and for sure finding out about Jimmy Buffett.
No, it's exactly. It's worldwide. And, you know, he was the troubadour of the Gulf Coast, and he never forgot his Mobile rearing. And of course he came from distinguished seafaring roots, and he always celebrated that, sang about it. And in fact, as I speak, it sounds like a Coast Guard helicopter is going over my head right now. But he was an ambassador to the world for telling about the quality of life and the good heart of the people that live here.
I can't wait. So it's September that opens the exhibit?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah,
we're looking forward to that. Yeah, we'll talk more about that before it gets here. All right, so I'm reading this story here. Number one, if I could cut and paste, I'd try to do it. The picture that goes with is a drawing of Grant's Pass, which, you know, Dolphin Island folks, we know about Grant's Pass, but I've never seen it like what it looked like back then in this in the drawing that was in Harper's Weekly posted. It's amazing. But you tell a story about a pleasure cruise, right? I mean, it's like, what did they say, a three-hour cruise in back in the day?
Exactly.
You know, it ended up putting some people on an island, and Gilligan was there or something. But this trip, it talks about weather we've seen. You grow up here on the Gulf Coast, and there are these there's thunderstorms every afternoon in the summer, but then there's times that you get something way bigger. And you're telling this story from back in history, 1850s, and I could absolutely picture what they went through because I've seen this kind of weather. Can you tell us the story of the Cuba and what happened on this trip?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. It was the only way I found out about this, by the way, was there was a retired judge in Wilcox County named James Fleetwood Foster, and he had been a little boy in Mobile in the antebellum days before the Civil War and had hung out around the river like a lot of little boys did. And he just collected all these stories in the newspaper up there for years around the turn of the century. And then they were gathered into a little pamphlet, which I happily have a copy of. And so that's how I learned about this story, because when he was 15 years old, he bought a ticket on the Cuba, which is what we would think of as a steamboat. It had a big smokestack in the center and side wheels, paddle wheels. But she often went out in the Mississippi Sound and even into the Gulf on short trips. ran the mail regularly between New Orleans and Mobile, but on weekends in the summer, they do little excursions over to Pensacola. So he bought a ticket.
It's like a cruise, right? Like some people
we
worked during the week doing the mail, but on the weekends, like, hey, let's take the cruise to Pensacola. Yeah.
So you leave Saturday, and you're on the Gulf all night, and you get to Pensacola early Sunday. You have a day sightseeing and sailing and fishing and hanging out with folks over there, and then you sail back late Sunday and get to Mobile Monday morning in time for work. So it was a routine trip. He'd made it before. I think the ticket was $7. And there were tons of enthusiastic young people, you know, gathered at the wharf to do it. And as he said, a few old fogey types to go along as chaperones. And they, you know, they had the boat was fairly new. The captain was extremely competent. They had a good, skilled pilot on board. Truly, no one dreamed of danger. And so that's, they took off. And there were some clouds on the horizon. He talked about that, but nobody was thinking about it. They were tooling down the bay, and music was trailing over the stern, and everybody was laughing and having a great time. Meanwhile, these clouds are gathering and gathering to the south, and then sheet lightning starts running across the horizon, and thunder starts rumbling. And that starts to get their attention, and they realize we're heading into something here.
Yeah, something that's beyond just a regular thunderstorm.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, at first when I read about this, I thought, is this the same storm that slammed into Last Isle, Louisiana, and clobbered that hotel, a famous incident in the 1850s where hundreds of people were killed? And it was not the same storm, but it turned out that was a very turbulent summer. There were a lot of tropical weather in the Gulf, and this was a different one. But they went down. And as the weather worsened and the wind whipped up, they couldn't stand by the rails because of the spray, and people began to get concerned. And then the captain said, okay, everybody put on your life vests, which back then were these bulky jacket-looking things. And he said, you should get to your quarters because it's going to be rough.
A little bit like the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, like it's too rough to feed you know?
Too rough to feed you. Never words you want to hear an experienced seaman say. So anyway, you know, young fools that they are, they start criticizing the captain and the crew for how they're managing the vessel. And then the weather gets worse, the boats start rocking, and people start getting seasick, and people are yelling and screaming, and it's just panic. And they're really in the fury of probably a full-blown gale, if not a tropical storm, right down there at the mouth of Mobile Bay, which, as you know, can be very rough with the currents and the...
Yes.
Sea going out and coming in, you get a big groundswell there. And they're just so then some terrifying things happened on board. First, Fleetwood hears this tremendous crash, and somebody yells, the chain box is gone. Chain box was like a big, heavy iron box filled with iron weights that on wheels that they could roll around on different parts of the ship to sort of counterbalance her if she was listing to one side to keep her level. Well, that had broke loose, roared across the deck, smashed through the bulwarks and into the channel. So that scared the living bejesus out of everybody. As if tensions were already high enough, and your story about Luna, incidentally, my wife and I saw her on the interstate coming home yesterday.
You did see it. Oh, you got stopped.
Yeah,
on
we
that
did.
Too.
No, we were before any enforcement got there, and we were sorry to hear she had to be put down. I mean, her horns practically spanned the interstate. So think Luna is tied up in the forecastle, the front of the vessel, to deliver to a cattleman in Pensacola. She breaks loose, or actually it's a bull. A bull breaks loose.
Oh, my gosh.
Skids down the length of the deck to the saloon and smashes into the bar. And, you know, at this point, everybody is... to use a modern term, freaking out. And then the hog chains give way, and these are great tension rods that run crisscross over the top of the vessel. They had these square masts that went down. If you look carefully at old steamboat pictures, you'll see them, but otherwise it's a little detail you wouldn't notice. But these masts, these big square posts, ran down each side of the vessel, and then they had tension rods crisscrossing above it, and that held the hull in tension. So with those gone, there was nothing to sort of keep the hull from hogging or sagging in the middle and breaking in half. So everything is going south quickly. on this trip. And at
I want my deposit back here. We got a bull on the loose. We got your listing. We're sagging in the middle. Exactly. We got a chain box going back and forth. Yeah, this is not good.
No, and everybody's saying, maybe we should have gone to church instead of breaking the Sabbath like this. But the captain, skilled seaman that he was, realized, you know, we're not gonna push through this. And so he judged the wind and the waves just right. When there was a big trough, he turned the vessel around, and you can imagine this thing, you know, just wobbling and lumbering around as these side wheels chop the water. We got her turned back north and then got her back to the city. It was a long and a rough ride, but he got everybody back safe.
Wow. So anytime y'all think you've had a bad cruise or something, did you have it this bad for sure? You know, and yeah. To think about this going on, 1856, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, and, Fleetwood said that the captain said, oh, it was no big deal. He'd seen worse, but the fact that the vessel was many days is in the hands of the carpenters getting repaired gave a lot of that. Other old salts said it was the worst gale they'd seen in Mobile in years. There was, you know, down at Navy Cove, a vessel got run aground and the Gulf washed across the peninsula. So it was.
Yeah, that's what you. I had read that in your account. That think about that, y'all. So you can kind of put things in perspective, that the Gulf washed through at Navy Cove. So a completely crossing the Fort Morgan Peninsula.
Okay. One can imagine what it was like down there. And the fact that they got back really says a lot about how seaworthy the boat was, but also the captain's skill, you know, his ability to manage that and get them through it.
We'll probably have to do another show on that because that is absolutely a thing. I mean, you've got to have a good ship, but you have to know, I mean, talking about running troughs and watching which way to go. I mean, that, you know, I've had some trips back that have taken, you know, should have taken an hour and a half, took 4 hours. But if you run them the right way, you will make it home. Yeah. You'll be soaking wet and beat up, but you'll make it home.
Yeah. And having a captain who has enough at sea experience to know, you know, as Long John Silver says at one point, this ain't nothing but a Biscay blow. Whereas a landsman like me, like, think we're all going to die. just having enough experience and perspective to realize what needs to be done and how much danger you're really in.
Y'all need to read this in Mobile Bay Magazine, of course, and see that picture Grant's pass was fantastic. I need to find a copy of that for sure for the house.
Yeah.
And in addition, if people are thinking, hey, man, I want to read more about what John writes, your books for sale, there's a bunch of them. Where can we find them?
Yeah, they're at the Haunted Bookshop. They're at Page and Palette in Fairhope. They're also at the in the gift shop at the Maritime Museum. And then they're also at the Barnes & Noble over there in Malbus. And you can get them online.
There he is, historian in residence. That means he lives here sometimes at the National Maritime Museum of the Gulf. Also author and historian extraordinaire and a very patient man to come on the radio with me. John Sledge, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Sean. I appreciate your interest. Always fun.
All right. It is always fun. There he is, John Sledge. And we'll come right back to wrap it up this hour on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Thursday. Hey, coming up next hour, an encore, whatever you want to call it, my conversation that obviously made the news yesterday, a conversation from Tuesday I had with Sheriff Paul Birch. That's coming up in just a few minutes. Let me check the text in a second. I do need to put this, I need to get this story. We'll probably revisit this tomorrow on the show, but it's run in our national news a couple times, and I just would love to hear from you on this. It's report this one coming from the AP. And the headline here is Visa, like credit card, right? Visa plugs its payment network into ChatGPT, letting AI agents shop and pay for users. As I often ask on these stories, what could go wrong? You know, it's a thing. What could possibly go wrong? Dateline San Francisco betting that people will soon grow more comfortable having artificial intelligent agents shop for groceries, plane tickets, or diapers on their behalf. Payments giant Visa said yesterday it's embedded its payment network inside of ChatGPT, empowering the chatbot to independently shop and complete transactions. Just get ready. Just like we did with the autonomous driving vehicles, and we started predicting what would happen. A lot of those things have happened, like them not stopping in for floodwater or school zones or school bus stop. Or okay, what could happen here? Okay, so it says in doing this, it means that AI agents can not only recommend products, but complete the purchase on the user's behalf at potentially any merchant that accepts Visa. Payment Network's previous attempts at this technological leap were confined to a single retailer or a small set of enrolled merchants. It's not OpenAI's first attempt at e-commerce. The company late last year announced Instant Checkout, which allowed ChatGPT to scour the internet for a specific item like a digital personal shopper. But the process was prone to errors and was not widely adopted by merchants due to the fee that OpenAI was charging merchants. Believe me, as altruistic as all the AI folks seem to be, they're all going to get paid, y'all. The company retired Instant Checkout back in March. Okay, so the idea, there's an idea of like where AI would go out, and you're like, I'm going to buy whatever. I got to get a new snapper reel for this weekend because the pole for my snapper reel, one of them, whatever it is, and it goes out and finds the best price. Okay, that's one thing. But it's saying that it would give, the way I'm reading this, the AI, like, it's now becomes you, and it can go out there and go shopping. You imagine, like, the AI gets screwed up. There's, like, packages delivered to your house of stuff you never ordered because AI thought you should have it. It says AI will provide the technology to allow the agents to interact, make decisions, and initiate purchases through ChatGPT. It's not that you say, hey, go buy me this thing. The way I read this, I mean, these words, you know, mean something. They will interact, they will make a decision, and initiate a purchase. It's okay. Now, here's what they're selling it. Like, here's the way you would think. Okay. Said, example here, a customer telling ChatGPT they're looking for a pair of wireless headphones under $150. Chatbot would find a pair on sale under those parameters and buy it on behalf of the customer. Okay. But to do this, you have to, that's when it works right. But to do this, you have to give it autonomy to make decisions and go buy things, right? And have access to the Visa. What, like I said, what could go wrong? What could ever go wrong with this? So that's out there. That's coming. Yeah, Jason, that cracks me. Say, text in here, honey. I swear I didn't buy that. It was AI. I mean, think about getting like home and there's a package, and you open it. You're like, what is this? This is why I didn't order this. Well, and then ChatGPT says, well, I figured you probably needed, you know, a new Chicago Bears turtleneck sweater. It's once again, let's just we'll file this in the file of what could go wrong to give ChatGPT, gives it your credit card, and not like credit card, like saved credit card. It's not that. It gives it the ability to make decisions and purchases on your behalf. I can't wait to see the stories that come out on this. Like Waymo, people are like, oh yeah, well, they'll just take you from point A to point B. And then sometimes there's homeless people locked in the trunk. Sometimes the Waymo cars, like in Atlanta, are going through the floodwater and getting washed away. They're not stopping when school buses stop or not slowing down in school zone, you know. So that's a Waymo car. What could go wrong with ChatGPT having access to your credit card and the whole web of things to purchase? And what if you would hack that and have it go buy products? I mean, Fire Talk obviously knows my affinity for that. He said, why did I just order 72 ESPN football phones? Thanks, ChatGPT. It was a Sports Illustrated football phone. Remember, that was always, you get Sports Illustrated and you get the football phone. C.B. Carl said, Sean, most of John's books are on my bookshelf along with his father's, but you can't buy them. People should read anything that he writes. Well, I probably will compare and contrast the Sledge family books. I probably could compete with you pretty good on the bookshelf right over my left shoulder here. Let's see. Jesse's, by the way, Blue Crab thing. Jesse, we're going this weekend. You've got me fired up. He's sending me pictures of just a cooler of just some fine blue crabs. Now we're talking. Let's see. Now, the people with the Luna Burgers, I get it. I was going to make those jokes. I fought the temptation, but obviously y'all didn't. All right. Listen to the conversation I had earlier this week with Sheriff Paul Birch. And then tomorrow, you got memories of Judge Roy Beans? Givens joins us to talk about that. John Sharp, Wes Allen, also talk about recycling and a whole lot more on tomorrow's Midday Mobile. Y'all have a great one.